This morning, I'm going to preach a message about grace and glory. Grace and glory. A lot of times we read some familiar stories in the Bible and we see how it applies or what happens, especially in the Old Testament, what happened for them, and we fail to pick up on what does that mean for me today. And so today we're looking at this story with Moses in Exodus 33. And Moses in Exodus chapter 33, he's just been in this place where we looked at a few weeks ago with the golden calf, when he goes up the mountain and he's up there too long and they are impatient. And as he delays, they make this golden calf. God sends them back down, take care of it, right? And so we're at this place where God has told them, Moses, take the people from the mountain, and you need to take them to the promised land. You need to take them to enter in. But God is still kind of mad about this idol worship. You guys know that God gets mad, right? I mean, that's one of those false teachings that's out there, like God doesn't get angry. God does get angry at sin, right? And disobedience to God is sin. So he's angry and he says, Moses, take them from the mountain, take them to the land flowing with milk and honey that I promised you. But he says, I'm not going. But I'll send an angel before you. The angel will prepare the way. He'll take care of the people, right? They talked about the giants and all those things. And he's like, the angel will take care of all that. So the angel will go before you, but I, God, am not going with you. Moses has an issue with that. You guys, anybody here might have an issue with that. Who would be glad that an angel is going before you? Oh, that's cool, I'll take that. But what I don't like and what I think Moses doesn't like is when God says, but I'm not going to go with you. And so we pick up in verse 12. Moses says to the Lord, see, this is going to start off good when he's like to God. He's like, see, you know, like, I got beef right here. See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you also have found grace in my sight. Moses gets this direction from God, lead the people, right? Take the people. But God... Now think about what God has been doing. Every time they would move, it was because God moved. Right? They've been following this pillar of cloud and this pillar of fire at night, and when it would go, they would go, and now all of a sudden, it's go on ahead, I'm not going with you. And so Moses takes some issue with this, but you're telling me to take these people and go, and you're not telling me who's going with me. Also, you just said you know me by name and that I have found grace in your sight. Now, church, do you believe that what God says is true? I do. I believe that Moses believed that too. And so, can you see where Moses might be a little bit confused? Where God's like, you have found grace in my sight. Go on and go do this, but I ain't going with you. I'm like, to me, that's confusing. God, do I have grace or I don't? Because you staying behind doesn't sound like it's really the best for me or for your people. God says, I know you by name. Now, when you know someone's name, what does that mean? That means that person is memorable to you. That means they made some kind of impact or some kind of impression on you. That's why it's hard when you meet a bunch of people and it's kind of fast and there's not a lot of interaction. You're just told a few names. You know, you go to a gathering somewhere and everybody's like, hi, my name's this and this and this. And you're like, man, I don't remember any of those guys' name except for that guy that farted when I shook his hand, right? I don't know if that is a real true story or not, but, you know, somebody that did something that kind of stood out and you're like, I remember that guy, Marty, Farty Marty. That's what we call him. Right? You start to make the word association. Right? How do you remember people's name? It's that they made some kind of connection to you, some kind of impact. There's something about them. It could be good or it could be bad, right? How you tie that together. But God says to Moses, I know you by name. I know you by name. He has a connection with each and every one of us, God does. See, I think there's a lot of times we think, well, God doesn't have a very good connection with me because he's not going with me. Right? It seems like I'm in this alone. It doesn't really seem like God has that great a connection with me. But God has a connection with you even if your sin has cut off that connection. He created you. He knew you before you were formed in the womb. He knew you. I would say that's a pretty good connection, the fact that he knew you and created you and has a purpose for you. You and I mean something to God. How many people are not in a church this morning and they have no idea that their life actually means something to God? Isn't that one of the most heartbreaking things that you can think of? Is somebody not knowing that they mean something to God? Not knowing that he knows them by name? Not knowing that he created them because he wants to know them on an intimate level? We mean something to God. But also, like Moses, you and I have found grace in his sight. What is grace? It's undeserved favor, right? It's getting something you don't deserve. How many of you parents, you know, you told your kids that you can't have dessert unless you eat all of your supper? Anybody ever told their kids that? Let's just be honest. All you older parents are definitely got your hands up, right? Younger ones, maybe not. How many of you gave them the ice cream anyway? I know there's one hand that's not up right there. I don't know if you noticed. Right there. My mom, her hand's not up. What is that? That's grace. Right? You've given them something they didn't deserve. What do you got to do to get the ice cream? You got to eat your supper. I didn't eat all my supper. Here's the ice cream anyway. That's really a form of grace. Giving them something they don't deserve. How many of you guys know somebody who procrastinates, one of your children maybe, and you're like, you know what, we're not helping them this time. We're going to let them sink or swim. And at the end of the day, the deadline's coming, you see what they're going through, and because you love them, you help them anyway. Anybody ever been there? Right? That's grace. That's a form of grace. Did they deserve it? No. One of my favorite sayings that I learned from Pastor Richard Crisco is that your lack of planning doesn't create an emergency on my part, right? Maybe it does on yours, but it shouldn't be on mine. But by grace, we often will jump in and help and bail them out. What about somebody who is really in a mood, right? And what you want to do is be like, dude, buzz off. Go be by yourself. Or you want to give them the attitude back. That's what you're giving me. Guess what you're getting back. It's kind of like, you know, you serve one over to me. Guess what? Serving it back to you. But what if they're rude to you? What if they have an attitude and then you show them kindness? Isn't that really a form of grace? Because they didn't deserve kindness by any means. In fact, what they deserved was maybe a smack or something. And you're like, nope, I'm going to be kind to them because that's how God is to me. Grace. Those are all examples of showing grace. But listen, that's grace in our sight. That's grace from our perspective in the things that we're going through. But what Moses was actually told was, you have grace in my sight. That's what God said to him. In God's sight, from God's point of view, from God's angle, Moses has grace. Don't you wish that God would say to you, Mark, you have grace in your sight? Right? In the way that you want it. Right? In the ways that you think that you need. But that's not what he said to Moses. Wouldn't it be great if grace looked like what we wanted it to, the way that we would like to apply it to our lives? But God didn't say that. He says, you have grace in my sight. When we consider what grace is, right? This undeserved favor. It's a gift, right? It's something that's given to us freely because we didn't deserve it. We don't earn it. And so therefore, it may be what you want. It may not. It may be what you need. But if you didn't deserve it, if you didn't earn it, if you didn't acquire it by some means of your own, then do you really even have a right to complain about it? About what it looks like? About how it's applied? About what angle it comes from? But there's times where I think we can feel like Moses here. Okay, God knows my name. He cares about me. I get that. That's great. I have grace in His sight. So I have this undeserved favor that He showed me. But what I'm facing right now is that He's asked me to do something, and it's hard. He's asked me to do something that maybe I don't quite feel so great about. I want some assurance. I want to know that it's going to be okay. I'm not necessarily saying no, but at least God let me know that you're here. Anybody ever been in this spot before? Let me at least know that you're with me. And imagine Moses right here. He's like, I'm not saying I won't go, right? He never said I won't go, but he's like, God, I mean, come on. Like, who's going with me? Right? He didn't just want to know who. He wanted to know God is going with me. Right? He's like, it's like he's beating around the bush here. Like, hey, I'll go, but who's going with me? And God's like, not me. He's like, okay, but who is? You haven't told me who is going with me. If you're not going, I don't want to go. Can we relate to that this morning? That if God's not with me, then I don't want to go. Verse 13, he says, now therefore I pray, this is Moses, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. What God says is true. He said, you have found grace in my sight. And Moses in his reply says, if I have found grace in your sight. Right? If what you say is true, which I believe that it is, if what you say is true and I have found grace in your sight, I still want proof. How many of you guys have been there before? I know what you say is true, but I still want proof. God, I still want evidence. I still want assurance that what you say is really true. Can I tell you that's not necessarily a bad thing? It's not necessarily a bad thing. As long as you believe what He says is true, it's not necessarily a bad thing to ask God for assurance. I believe that's one of the things the Holy Spirit does in our life, is help to assure us of what God has asked us to do. Moses says, here's how you can assure me. Show me your way, God, that I may know you. Show me your way that I may know you. What is he saying? If I've found this grace in your sight, if you've shown me this favor that I don't deserve, show it to me by showing me your way. Because if I know your way, if I know your plan, if I know your path, if I know who you are, right, it helps me to know you more. Church, you know, if you want to know Jesus, you have to know His way. You have to know His way. You think about when you truly know someone, you know their way, right? It's not just about the name. It's also about the way. What would they do? How would they do it? When you know someone and you really know them, you know what they would do, and you can even speak for them on their behalf, right? If someone's not going to be here at a board meeting, most of our board, I could be like, well, they're not here, but this is probably what they would say. Everybody on the board knows what Mark would say. Buy it. If we have the money, we have the money. Buy it. So if Mark's not here, we'd be like, Mark says buy it. Now, if I didn't know Mark, if he's just some guy that walked in and joined the board, which we don't do, but I'd be like, I don't know what he would do. Like, I don't know him. Right? When you know someone, when you've been around them, listen, you got to know their ways to really know them. That's how we uncover who someone really is. You know why there's so much false teaching going on in the world right now? Because people don't know Jesus' ways, and then they're trying to speak for him. Listen, if you don't know Jesus' way, you don't get to speak for him because you're going to be wrong. Right? You don't get to speak for him if you don't know his ways. And I'm going to tell you what, he's already spoken. We have it in the Word of God. He's already shown his ways, recorded it, and declared it over and over and over and over, and his Word is true. And so if we learn his ways, we begin to know him more. And we find out that the Word of God tells us that he is the way. In fact, that's what they were called, right? In the early days of Christianity, they were called the way because they knew that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. But God says of the Israelites during this time, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 10, God says, "Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways." Why did they go astray in their hearts? Because they didn't know God's ways. They hadn't learned his ways. And Moses here desires to please God. Moses is willing to obey God. Moses is willing to do what God asks him to do. All he asks is that, God, would you please go with us? Right? I know that I have grace, but man, we need to know your way. We need to know your way. And by the way, these people are yours, God. He gives them that reminder. They're your people. God's response in verse 14, and he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. It's the presence of the Lord, church, that gives us rest. It's the presence of the Lord that rest literally means to be settled down. I don't know what Moses was actually like. I don't know if he raised his voice when talking to God, when, you know, conversing and when praying. I know that when I'm praying, I raise my voice with God a lot. It's not that I'm trying to, you know, one-up him or anything. That's passion, right? Sometimes you get passionate, sometimes you get loud. And I think about the fact that it says that when we have his presence going with us, that we get settled down. It's his presence that settles us down. When you're worked up, you need his presence. When you're confused or you're anxious, when you're spiraling, right, you need his presence because it settles us down. And God says, I'll go with you. My presence will go with you. But church, that's not just for Moses. That's for you and I today. That his presence will go with you. He'll go with you. When Jesus ascended to heaven, what was the promise that he gave? I'll send the helper. Right? My Father will send the helper. And he'll go with you. He'll be with you. Now, I don't know about you, but I want him with me. Amen? I want him with me. And I'm not just talking about going out in front and leading the way. I'm not talking about coming behind me and cleaning up all the mess that I make. I'm talking about with me. Like, I want to know that he's there. I don't want to just see that he's been there or he's have faith that he's going to come behind. I want to know he's right here, right now, with me every step of the way. And praise God that I know that he is. verse 15 and 16. Then Moses responds back to God and he says, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people upon the face of the earth." Again, Moses never said that he wouldn't go. All that he said is that he didn't want to go if God wasn't going with him. And here he tells us why. He tells God why. He says, "God, your presence is the thing, the only thing that separates us from everybody else. It's the only thing that shows everybody else who we are, that we belong to you. It's only by your presence. It's only by the fact that you are with us. And so if you're not with us and you send us out, how are people going to know? How are people going to know?" He says that's what sets us apart, not from just the Canaanites, right? Not from just the Jebusites, right? Not the whatever, all the different crews. He says it's not what's going to set us apart just from them, but from all the people on the face of the earth. Can I tell you today, right here, right now, there's something that sets us apart from all the other people on the face of the earth. Not just Muslim people. Not just Buddhists. Not just Jehovah's Witness. Not just Mormons. There's something that sets us apart from all the other people on the face of the earth, and it's the fact that the Holy Spirit is with us. That He's with us. It's His presence. Church, there's a reason. There's a reason why we do an altar call every week, because we believe that in His presence and in the midst of worship, that God moves in power. Amen? We believe that. That's why we do it. And I'll tell you what, there's something special about the presence of God that changes things. There's something special about the presence of God that not just makes the atmosphere different, it's not just that it feels different, but when we cultivate the atmosphere with prayer and with worship, man, the hand of God moves upon His people. I believe that. God's presence is what separates us from all the other people on the face of the earth. Romans verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 9, says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His." That's the difference maker, church. If you have professed Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you follow Him, if you believe in Him, if you are born again, then you have the Spirit of Christ in you, and that is how you know that you are His. It also says that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, guess what? You're not His. You're not His. Church, I want you to know today that if you've found grace in His sight, if you have found grace in His sight, think about what that means for you and me today. Grace is Jesus dying the death on the cross of a criminal. Did Jesus do that for you? He did. Grace is making a way when there was no other way. Did Jesus do that for you? Yes, He did. Grace is giving us a new life. Hallelujah. Being born again means that we're free from sin and shame, that we no longer are chained and bound by our past, that we're new in Christ Jesus. Did He do that for you? Yes, He did. Grace is sending His Spirit to be with you and show you the way and constantly bring you back to Him. Did Jesus do that for you? Yes, he did. Moses sought his presence and he said, Lord, don't make me go if you're not going with us. When's the last time that we prayed a prayer like that? When's the last time we prayed a prayer like, God, I'm not even willing to get out of bed today if you're not going with me. God, I'm not willing to go to work today if you're not going with me. Now, some of you guys are going to do that and hide from God. Don't do that. It says, where shall I go that he wouldn't find me? Right? Where should I go that he wouldn't find me? The answer is nowhere. Don't tempt God. Don't test God like that. But when's the last time we said, God, I'll do anything you want, but will you please go with me? I'll do anything you want. There's no limits to what I'll say yes to as long as you're coming. As long as you're coming. Verse 17, the Lord says to Moses, I will also do this thing that you've spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Here's something we learn about our God. That from the very beginning of creation, from the very start, he's wanted one thing, to be with you. To be with you. To know you. To spend time with you. And I can't imagine us asking God to come and be with us, to go with us, and him saying no to that when it's the whole reason he created you in the first place. Was to know you, to be with you. He will show you grace by giving you something that you don't deserve. He did that once on the cross when he made a way. He did that when we didn't deserve it, but he'll continue to show you grace by giving you something else that you don't deserve, his presence. He will show grace by giving you his presence. And he knows your name. Remember that. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter how short we've fallen. It doesn't matter how much we fail over and over and over. If we invite his presence to be among us, he will. He will. Church, that's grace. That's grace. He's already shown us grace. Have we accepted the grace that he offers us today? Jesus knows you. Do you know him? Or do you just know about him? If you know him, what's next? I love how Moses is one of these people that doesn't really ever seem just satisfied with where he's at. He's like, all right, now that I got my answer number one, that you will go with me, God, I have another request. Right? I'm going to start with the most important one. Will you go with me? Yes. Okay. Verse 18 Moses says to God, please show me your glory. He has the grace. He's received the grace. And he goes for the glory. Consider the fact that Moses is the one who talked to God in the burning bush. Pretty amazing experience. We don't see anybody else that had an experience quite like that. Consider the fact that Moses is the man who's been going up the mountain talking with God, coming back down, sharing with the people. He would often be up there for days at a time. Consider the fact, even right here at the beginning of chapter 33, that Moses set up a tent outside the camp. And as he would go into the tent, the cloud would come down upon the tent, and he would talk with God. This Moses, it says, talked with God as a friend. Now, come on, that's grace right there. That's the undeserved favor of God that Moses has these opportunities to keep talking with God and meeting with God. And I don't know about you, but I want what he's having. And yet after all that, Moses says, please show me your glory. I mean, if there's anybody alive that's seen the glory of God, wouldn't it have been Moses? He met with him like a friend. And he says, show me your glory. This word glory literally means weight or abundance, this weightiness. It's like, God, please show me your weight. Show me your abundance. Listen, grace is good, and we need grace. But after that, I want to know the fullness of God's goodness. Right? I want to know Him more, the weight of who He really is. This right here is when you know that you know the grace of God, when you realize the depth of God is so great, so vast, that you've seen so little, but you desire to see so much more, that you're willing to say, God, will you show me your glory? Will you show me your glory? And God responds in verse 19. He says, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock, and so shall it be while my glory passes by, that I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. I'll cover you with my hand while I pass by, and then I'll take away my hand, and you shall see my backside, but my face shall not be seen. God says, I'll show you what you're asking for, Moses. But remember, glory means weight. Moses asked to see God's glory. And the response from God is essentially that you could not handle the weight of it all. You could not handle the weight and the abundance of how great I really am, of how good I really am. Do you realize, church, that there is only so much revelation of God that we can handle at any given point in our life? There's only so much we can handle. Take salvation, for example. If God would tell us the whole plan for the entire rest of our lives at the moment of salvation and then be like, now make your decision, there'd be a lot of people that'd be like, no thanks. Right? If you knew what you were going to lose, if you knew the things you might go through, even if you know the end game when we're laying it out, we might say no thanks. God knows you can't handle all of that up front. He knows you can't handle all that up front. He only reveals enough of you for what you need right now. He may give you a little bit of wisdom for the future. He may give you a prophetic word for the future. He may kind of tell you what is coming. Like, he told them about the land flowing with milk and honey. He had them go scout it out. He tells them to go and take it. Consider the fact that God only gives us so much because we can only handle so much at a time. You can't handle God in His fullness while you're in this earthly body. Can't handle it. He tells us, nobody can see me and live. It's too much. In Revelation, it tells us that at the end, in the New Jerusalem, there will be no light except what radiates from God Himself. Think about that. He will be the light. I don't think we could handle that in its fullness right here, right now. You ever try looking into the sun and you can't see for 10 minutes? Imagine looking into the sun. Imagine looking into Jesus, who is going to be the light of the world, literally, in the last days. Think about the fact that we can't handle the fullness until we're resurrected and have a glorified body, as Jesus does. In our earthly state, we could never handle it, but like Moses, we can see what we're ready for. We can see what we're ready for, and we can ask for more. We can desire more. We can ask God to go deeper. By the measure of our desire and our faith and our closeness to Christ, God will continue to reveal more and more and more of Himself if we seek it. That's where we fall short. Sometimes we fail to seek it. We just think God's going to just wake me up with revelation every morning. Probably not if you don't open His Word. Probably not if you don't pray. Probably not if you are not faithful with the things that He gives you, maybe to share with other people. There's things that we've got to do. That's part of that is seeking more and more of Him. Jesus, speaking to the Father in John chapter 17, said, "Father, I desire that they also who You gave Me may be with Me where I am, and that they may behold My glory, which You have given Me, for You loved Me before the foundation of the world." Jesus' desire is that you would behold His glory, that you would know Him for who He is more and more, day by day, deeper and deeper. Church, this is a challenge for each and every one of us. Salvation is great. It's essential. We need it. Without it, there's no way to heaven, and hell is awaiting every single soul. Everyone. But if you know Jesus, if you have that grace, and if you believe what He said in John 10:10, that I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, that means that He came that you could have life, that is eternal life, that's the grace. But He also said that you may have it more abundantly. That's His glory. Abundance. You may have life and have life in abundance, that you may have life and that you may know My glory. It says that He hid Moses in the rock and covered Moses with His hand as he passed by. Obviously, this is metaphoric because God the Father is not in a body, He's a spirit. But this shows us something. It shows us that God Himself is the revealer of His glory. God Himself is the revealer. He told Moses to go in the cleft of the rock. He covered it up and passed by, and He allowed Moses to see what Moses was ready to see. That God is the revealer of glory. God is the one. He said, "Moses, you can see My backside. You can see the back of Me." Now think about what God said He was going to do as He went by. He said, "As I come by, I will proclaim the name of the Lord." I'll proclaim, God the Father proclaimed the name of the Lord. I don't know what language He's speaking, I guess Hebrew. But as He walked by, He proclaimed the name of Jesus. He proclaimed the name of the Lord as He walked past Moses. It says, as He walked by, He said, "All of My goodness, the fullness of the goodness of God will pass by you." And then His back was revealed. This is a signal. It's a signal for us that what we need right now is we need to know what to get behind. We need to know what to get behind. That the name of Jesus is what's proclaimed. The goodness of God has come and has gone forth, listen, in its fullness on the cross. That's what that all points to, church. We go through the Old Testament, it all points back to Jesus. The goodness of God in its fullness was poured out on the cross. The name of the Lord was proclaimed at the cross, that Jesus, the name of Jesus above every other name. Think about the fact that His name, I know they put King of the Jews mocking Him, but they put that on the top of that cross, and that cross was raised up higher than all the others. The name above all names. The name above every other name is Jesus. We've got to get behind the name of Jesus. He is the goodness of God. He is the fullness of God. And He's already passed by. Are we willing to follow Him? And as we continue to follow Him, and we know Him more and more and more, church, that's that weighty abundance. When people say, "Man, I feel the presence of God," that's the weightiness, right, of His glory. That's the presence of God. And there's nothing He wants more than for you to be saved by the grace that He's shown you, but then after that, to pursue His glory. To say, God, I want you more and more and more. I want to know you more. I love how Moses said it. Please. How often do you say please to God? When you're in desperation, right? I mean, that's really when we say please to God. It's when we're in desperation and Moses says, please show me your glory. Church, I feel like we need to be desperate for the glory of God. We need to come to that place where it's like, God, would you please, please show me who you are? Please show me another level. Please take me deeper. God, let me see your glory. Please. I beg of you, God, I desire it. I long for it. God, there's nobody that had a better relationship on earth with God than Moses. And he says, please, let me see your glory. Please, God, I'm not satisfied with what I've got. I want more. He didn't ask for more cattle. He didn't ask for more gold. It's just what we were singing about earlier. Right? He said, nothing else. I just want you. God, can I have some more? Would you stand with me in this place? Father, we just come to you right now. God, we come to you with the heart of Moses. A heart that says, God, we thank you for the grace that we have found in your sight. We thank you that when you look at us, if we've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, that you don't see the wretched sinner that we are apart from Christ, but you look at us and you see your perfect, holy Son. God, we thank you for that grace, and I pray every person within the sound of my voice would know that grace right here, right now, today. Lord, that we would be those who would say yes to the call of God you've put upon our lives. Lord, that we would say yes, Jesus, I will follow you. That today would be that day of awakening. Lord, for everybody who's already said yes, I pray that today that you would give us a heart that seeks your glory. God, give us a heart that doesn't just seek what you can do for us, but it seeks just more of who you are. And so right now, as we enter into this altar call, Lord, all of us standing, we have one desire in this place. Please show us your glory. God, would you please let the glory fall in this place? Would you please show up in a tangible, powerful way, Lord? God, one that drives out all insecurities, one that puts fully to rest all anxiety, one that cancels the assignment of the enemy upon our lives, Lord, that brings depression upon us, Lord. God, would your weightiness come and supplant all those things? Would you bring your healing into this place right here and right now? Your provision, Lord, everything that we lack, Lord, we know is found in you. And so, Lord, we pray right now, in the name of Jesus, please show us your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.